I want to talk to you from the topic today, game changers. Game changers. What is a game changer? Do you know that God wants you and I to become game changers? No matter what you do, no matter who you are, I want you to know today that Jesus wants you to become a game changer. The definition of a game changer is the following: a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. I'm going to say it again. A newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. A game changer is a new thing. It's an element or a factor that comes and changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. A game changer is also an event or idea. Let's call it an idea. That affects a significant shift in the current way of doing or thinking about something. It can be an idea that comes and brings a significant shift in the way of doing things or thinking about something. What is a game changer? A game changer is a newly, say it with me, newly element that changes existing situations in a significant way. It's also an idea. A game changer can be an idea. An idea that shifts what we do tremendously or significantly. So a game changer is a newly element. An element can be a person. It says it can be as a newly element or a factor. That factor can be you, can be a person. So a game changer can be a person that changes an existing situation in a significant way. That means when you are a game changer, there's a certain situation that's almost like in a rut, day in, day out. But when you are a game changer, you step into that situation, you might be the same person or a new person stepping in, and you cause a significant change in that situation. Most of the time for the better. That is a game changer. Like Jesus. Jesus was the greatest game changer that this world has ever seen. Jesus is the greatest game changer. 2,000 years ago, he stepped from heaven onto earth and he became a game changer in the way that we as humans do things. He became the greatest game changer of all time. The Bible is full of examples and testimonies of game changers in their generations. When you study the Bible, you find that all the major figures in the Bibles were all game changers in their generations. So as a church and as the church of Jesus and the people of God, we should actually aspire to become game changers, because we have so many great examples in the Bible from the beginning to the end of people and testimonies of game changers, people that stepped into situations and significantly changed those situations, ideas that came through people that significantly changed the way people did things or thought about stuff. But the man, Jesus Christ, still stays the game changer of all time. Jesus himself. A game changer can also be an idea. An idea that significantly shifts the current way of doing things or thinking about things. You have to understand, a game changer can be a person, but it can also be an idea. It can be an idea that significantly shifts the way we currently do things or think about things. Friends, God wants you to know that He has new ideas for you every day that can affect and make significant changes or shifts in your current situations or the way that you and I are doing things. He's an unlimited source of new ideas. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says that you have an anointing. The Bible says that you serve the God that speaks. Now, he spoke things in existence. So what he speaks come from his heart and mind. You have the anointing. You have the spirit. You have the anointing. You have the mind. You have a God that speaks. So he's constantly shouting ideas to you. As I preach, some of you are going to get ideas. And it will be game-changing ideas. You will be a home sale leader, but you will get a game-changing idea for your home sale. You might be a businessman here today, but you will get a game-changing idea for your business. And God wants you to know when you are in His camp, you need to know that you and I are designed and brought forth to be game changers. He also tells us that He will constantly give us ideas to be game-changing ideas. And Jesus promised to give this to us and much more. So what is a game-changing or a game-changer idea? A game-changer or game-changing thought is that aha moment where you see something which others don't. Have you experienced that? You were at a place and they were talking about stuff and then suddenly you just, you saw something different. Other people were seeing the norm, but you were seeing something. You had an aha moment. Now, that aha moment is a game-changing thought. You're seeing stuff which others are not seeing. That thought can be the transformational magic that changes an organization from the ordinary to the exceptional. You can be in church today and have an aha moment, which can be a game-changing idea that can bring significant change in your life and in the lives of the or the structure of this church. You can move from being ordinary to extraordinary just through a game-changing idea. Now, friends, we all experience one time or another something so big and so impactful, it literally changed the landscape around us. What is a game-changing idea or a game-changing thought? We all have experienced that somewhere in our lives. It is so big and it's so in magnitude that it changes the landscape around us. A very good example of that is Apple. Apple. Stay with me, don't lose me now. You see, the first apple we find was in the Garden of Eden. It was a game-changing thing. It changed the whole game of mankind. It led man into sin. But the second apple, 2,000 years roughly later, was a game-changing idea that changes the landscape of us all. We experience that every human being on this planet. Through Apple came a game-changing idea that gave man real phones, real computers, and proper gadgets. Amen? It's a game-changing idea. You can't say that you haven't heard about Apple. Oh, come on, man. It changed the landscape around us. Most people have an Apple gadget somewhere. Apple came and gave us real phones, real computers, and proper gadgets. And all the Apple people say, amen. Amen. Family, a game changer is a person or an idea that is so big and impactful, it literally changes the landscape around us. So when we talk about you and I becoming game changers, it's for a purpose. It is to change the landscape around us. Friends, God wants you and me, or you and I, to become game changers. People that changes existing situations or activities in significant ways. And He made you and He made me to be game changers in this generation. In everything and every activity you and I find ourselves in. You are designed to be a game changer. You are made to be a game changer. So how do I become a game changer, Tabu? It's so simple. I said to you, the biggest and the greatest game changer was Jesus. You just need to be born from His Spirit. You need to have His DNA. The Bible says that we are born again from the Word of God, which is Jesus. That means you and I, we carry in the inner man the DNA, and that DNA is to be a game changer. Therefore, you need to be born again. You need to give your life to Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, He puts you in the camp of the game changers. He says, you carry that DNA. You need to know that. And you're not excited about it. You see, so many of us want to become everything except that what God has made us. God has made you and I to be game changers. To go into situations that is the same, step into them and change them significantly. To receive ideas that significantly change the landscape around us. The second thing is, have relentless pursuit. When you study the lives of game changers, and there's many of them, Apple was a game-changing thought, but it became a game-changing movement. Now, if it was only a thought and it didn't produce anything else, it would have stayed a thought. It would have stayed an idea. But because it's a game-changing idea, the reason why it's a game-changing idea is because the idea went into something that changed the environment. Are you with me? And when you study the lives of people that brought pod products and stuff into our world that changed our landscapes and stuff, you find that they had one thing in common. They have relentless pursuit. Relentless pursuit. You ever wonder how people come up with the big idea? They work at it. They don't lie on the couch before the TV and had an aha moment. Most of these people that are so successful, they work at it. They grab opportunities, they make mistakes, they relentlessly pursue new ideas, new ways, and then at a certain time, they obtain that big idea that gave them that breakthrough. To put it simple, they proactively focus on pursuing to become game changers. They proactively focus to become game changers. I said to you on the way back from Planet Shaker Church last week, I had 2 days on the flight. A lot of movie time, spending time with God because I was closer and everything. And I watched a movie, the movie of Steve Jobs, which is very inspirational, not because I'm an Apple fan, but just because of the way the man brought forth the product. And what I've noticed from this whole thing is that he was so focused to bring forth what he saw and other people didn't see. He was so focused to keep it simple, to proactively become a game changer. He didn't want it just to bring forth a product. He wanted to take over the world when he produces a computer. He wanted to produce the most simplified, best computer on the planet. Became a game changer in producing computers. That stood out to me. You study the lives of Richard Branson and all these powerful people that made a huge impact in our world. You find that they were not settled just to bring forth a product or just to do something. They wanted to be game changers in their products and whatever they did. They are never satisfied with the ordinary or the mundane. Never satisfied. The problem with many of us, we get easily satisfied. So easily satisfied with the little that we have. Where God is saying, no, there's a whole world out there. There's bigger things for you to achieve. Don't get satisfied with the ordinary or the mundane. Richard Branson, Jeff Bezos, and other CEOs are recognized for their big ideas, but they didn't just get lucky. They were and are committed to the constant pursuit of becoming game changers. They are not just dreamers, but they are doers. Too many of us are dreaming before the PlayStation or on the couch or before TV. Are you constantly pursuing to become a game changer? You have the opportunity in the world to do it. You're a home cell leader. Become a game-changing home cell leader. You're a zone pastor. Become a game-changing zone pastor. You are an engineer. Become a game-changing engineer. You have your own business. You have a business that's a game-changing business. Be committed to become a game-changer and constantly pursue it relentlessly. Don't just be a doer, a dreamer, but be a doer. I want to give you a nugget for leadership. Successful leaders are nothing if not persistent and committed individuals who understand that potential is of little value if potential fail to realize. I said it in the earlier service that I constantly train the pastors and the upcoming pastors to see potential in people, to recognize potential. And therefore, many of leadership will come to you and say to you, man, you've got so much potential. You can change the world. You can do great things for God. And if you are in the church, you will find people constantly say that to you. You have potential. You can do great things for God. Come on, let us use you. So we train everybody. But you see, successful leaders know that unless potential realize, it's of no value. Yeah, you can recognize potential, but can you get that potential to realize? Can you get that potential to become something? When you become a successful leader, you know that potential is of little value if it doesn't realize. So you can tell to people that so much, and we have to, you have potential. And we need to do it sincerely because we see every one of you with huge potential. Why? Not because of you, but because of Christ that lives in you. But if you want to become successful, we need to take that what we see and make it, bring it forth into something. Let it realize. So it's great to see potential, church and leaders. But we need to bring forth. Let that potential come into realization. Meaning, you can see a person, you're in church and they praise and worship and they've got this beautiful voice. Oh, they've got potential. But unless they're on this, in the band, in the worship ministry, and unless they bring it forth, it's just potential. It's no success in it yet. So the first thing is you need to be born again. The second one is you need to relentlessly pursue. Relentlessly pursue to become a game changer. Then, thirdly, be original. Come on, slap your neighbor, say, be you. Slap another neighbor, say, stop trying to be somebody else. Slap another one, say, stop trying to be like Pastor Tabu. Just be you. Be the best you. We need you. We don't need more Tabus. And just thank God for that. We need you. We need you to be the best you. So you need to be original. And when you study the lives of these people, you'll find game changers refuse to allow organizations to adopt conventional orthodoxy. And in the church, we get a little bit jittery when it comes to this because when people don't want to do what we want to do, then there's something wrong with them. So we don't create a culture where people can really become game changers. You have to understand that there is rebellion, which is evil, and we will never tolerate it. But there has to be a platform where people that want to become game changers, they are not going to be tied in your box. I'm going to say it this time. They don't want to be tied in your box. They're never going to fit your box. And if you want to control them, you're going to stop them from being original. And when you stop them from being original, you're going to stop them from becoming game changers. And game changers, they hate religion. And they hate doing stuff every year the same way all over and over. They challenge the norm. Break conventional conventions. And they encourage diversity of thought. So we have a church, as a church, we need to wake up. Really, we need to wake up. Because when we have game changers, they will challenge. Not be rebellious, they will challenge. Certain thoughts and certain ways of doing things. And it's not that you can't challenge it, it's the way that you challenge it. Just want to put that in. Because some of you young people will now think that you can just give your opinion. And I said it earlier, you don't have an opinion, and I don't listen to your opinion. Come with idea. Learn to come with ideas instead of opinions. Don't sit here with your critting pad and find 10 reasons why nothing is working. And come with idea to tell us how things are working. And if you have a game-changing pastor and game-changing leaders around you, they look for ideas more than opinions. Facebook is not a platform for your opinion. It just shows you that you will never become a game changer. Say that's tight. Tell somebody else it's right. Game changers have a simple message. Don't copy, but create. Simple. I wanna be like Mike. Stop being Mike, be yourself. Create. God has made each and every one of you creative. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same spirit that created this wonderful universe, lives in you. Stop trying to copy. You're not only going to become a game changer when you become a copycat. You're a copycat. Stop copying and start creating. Become the real you. Be original. Don't just play the game. Change the game. You're a home cell leader. Don't just play the game. Every Wednesday night, it's the same old wheel. Everybody that comes to your home cell, they just jump into this hamster wheel. It's the same old thing. Hello, worship, word, bye. Next Wednesday, they jump in your back in your own. Yes, stay to the structure. Otherwise, you'll become a jellyfish. We have to have order. We are all different, but God gave us all the same structure. Most of us have the same amount of bones in our body. Are you with me? Stay with that. But be creative. Be creative. Bring forth some new things. When you have a good idea of a game-changing idea, share it with people that are in front of you. Rather share ideas than opinions. And don't just play the game. Change the game. You will find me, and my pastors know, that I get quickly bored with things. When I feel something is not working, I rip it apart, I change the whole thing, and I start again. So if your home cell is not working, man, stay to the structure, but do something new. Do something fresh. Just change the... Don't just fall into the rut. Change the rut. Are you with me? It's a leadership nugget for you. Great leaders aren't copycats. You want to become a great leader? Don't be a copycat. Game changers have no patience for the status quo. They focus their efforts on shattering it. Their goal is, listen, to create, to improve, and innovate everything around them for best practice in order to find the next practice. Oh, that's powerful. What do you have in your hands? Create and innovate that what you have, that what is given to you. When you successfully create and innovate that for best practice,
the next step you will be, you will find a new practice. You've heard me say it so many times, don't be a stupid Christian. Amen? I find that we become stupid. God doesn't want us to be stupid, but we stay stupid. God wants us to be clever. But if you don't take what God has given you, and you create with that what God has given you, and innovate with that what God has given you, for best practice, you will never receive the platform for the best new idea. Game changers take what they have, the little bit that they have. It's amazing that God spoke about faith and He chose the smallest seed on the planet. He said, if you have the smallest seed, faith as small as that, you can move mountains. Some of you want to one day build a great church for God, but you just see yourself now with a home cell. Well, if you take that and those people, and you create and innovate for best practice in the sphere that you are in, it's going to set you up for the best new thing there. But most of us look at each other, oh, I don't have the hairstyle, I don't have the personality, I don't have the money, I don't have that, and God, I'm angry with you because I don't have that. Game changers don't moan with what they have. They work with the little bit that they have. They create, they innovate with what they have for best practice. And as they do that effectively, sooner, the more they do that, the more they set themselves up for the best new thing, best new practice. That means new ideas are going to come. Constantly use the opportunities that you have. God gives all of us opportunities to grab those opportunities. Look for new ideas. Take them, create them. Be innovative with them. We are so used to these days, you know, we've got technology that is improving every day. You just start to find out how the Apple phone works, then there's a new one. I mean, I say to the sound men, they always say to me, oh, Pastor, to get new sound, we need this sound desk. Then I say to them, but you can't even work the one that we are. You don't even know what this one can do. But it's so easy to get the new thing. Take that what you have, multiply what you have, be creative with what you have, be innovative with what you have for best practice. And you're going to set yourself up for the best new thing or the best new practice. Are you still with me? Is this helping somebody? The fourth thing is develop a clear purpose. Develop a clear purpose. You study the lives of these men, you find they are successful and game changers because they have a clear purpose. You study the life of Jesus, you find He became a game changer because He had a clear purpose. Friends, leaders who create or inspire to become game changers are nothing if not aware. Aware. You come to church, but you're like a headless chicken. You hear, but the lights are not on. Somebody is home, but the lights are not on. You have to train yourself to come to an environment of faith and the Spirit of God, the house of God, to be aware. Don't come to church and fall asleep. You waste your time. You have to become aware. Game changers and leaders that want to become game changers are everything. And the main thing is they are aware. They go through life open eye. They see opportunities, look for new ideas, new opportunity constantly. I will many times walk into our church office and I will see stuff. All my pastors will walk past those places for weeks. A piece of duct tape against the wall. Now I walk into the place, I sit down, and my eye catches everything, nothing except that piece of duct tape. And I will stop the whole meeting and ask everybody there if they haven't seen the duct tape. And they all think I'm nuts. No, I'm not nuts. I've trained myself to be aware, to look at stuff that is out of place, to get ideas. You might think it's just duct tape on the wall. For me, it's much more than that. The thing that drives me nuts is that people walk past it and they just don't take it off. Irritates me. You might think I'm over the top. I don't care. I'm constantly looking for things that's out of place, things that shouldn't be there, new ideas. If you want to become a game changer, you need to be aware. Game changers are not just aware, they are self-aware. Ha! Self-aware, how you dress, how you look, how you present yourself, how you smell, how your breath smells. How you smile. They're not just aware, they're self-aware. They're not insecure, but they're self-aware. Which many of you should, because you have to change that. We are more insecure than self-aware. It's a big difference. Self-aware doesn't mean I'm insecure. I'm just aware that if I carry myself in a certain way, I bring forth a message that might be contradicting who I am, what I stand for. But they're not just self-aware. They are very aware of the emotions and needs of others. When you look at the movie of Steve Jobs, you find he was aware what people needed. What they want to have. He was so aware of it that he had to wait for technology to catch up. If you want to become a game changer or a great leader, you have to be aware, you have to be self-aware, but you also need to be aware of other people's emotions and other people's needs. And especially in what we do, it's very important to be aware of other people's emotions and other people's needs, because what we do is all about people. They are also aware of what will be the next need in the market. There's one place where Steve got so frustrated that he said, I know they can't do it now, but I want it now to be in place, because soon technology will catch up and then everybody will want that. So when you are in the life of a game changer, they will always want it now. And you might not see why they want it now. And rightfully, you can't produce what they want now. But just work with them now, because sooner than later in time, you can understand what you didn't see there is what's going to happen now. Game changers are aware of what people need in the future. But if you are not learned to be aware coming to church, to prayer meeting, then you're not going to be self-aware. Learn to be aware. Aware of yourself, aware of other people's needs and emotions, and then also be aware of what people will need in the future. Amen? Amen. A leadership nugget for you in this one. Most game-changing leaders are in touch with a greater purpose. They understand the value of serving something beyond themselves. You want to become a game-changer? Then you need to serve a purpose bigger than yourself. There is no greater purpose in this universe than the Church of Jesus Christ. For you to be here today as a child of God, if you have to say thank you for one thing, and that is for the church, which is a far greater purpose than your life. Game changers serve purposes greater than themselves. So I want to encourage you to constantly put the work of God in front and the purpose of the kingdom in front of your purpose. Serve that first. No wonder Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. When you study the lives of game changers, you find that they serve always greater purposes than themselves. If you want to be a real game changer, create in you a purpose that serves, a purpose that improves, helps, and inspires. You want to be a game changing or changer in your as a home cell leader, pastor, doctor, dentist, businessman? Create in yourself a purpose that when you are working and what you are doing, you always want to help people, serve people, inspire people, and improve people. Every Sunday when I preach, it is for what? To serve you. To serve you. To serve you. To serve you. Sometimes I serve a 9-course dish, and some of you treat it like a Big Mac meal at McDonald's. Take it cheap. Serve. Serve. What I preach, like I preach, to inspire you. To improve you. And to help you. Why are you a home cell leader, a zone pastor, a person in church, band leader? Why are you doing this? To serve people, to inspire people, to improve people, and ultimately to help people. But you need to create that purpose in you. Whatever you do in church, because this is our thing. It is always to serve, always to inspire, always to improve, and always to help. If you create that, whatever you do, home cell leader, you are a servant in the usher team, servant in the band, whenever you minister as a worship leader, if you have that purpose to serve, to inspire, to improve, and to help, you are becoming a game changer in that category. Friends, Jesus had a game-changing purpose for the world. He had a game-changing purpose. In John chapter 3, 16 to 17, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the game-changing purpose. The game-changing purpose of heaven and why Jesus came is to give you everlasting life. The reason why is God's love for you. The reason is not God. The purpose is not God's love. The reason was God's love. The purpose was to give you eternal life. To give you eternal life. Eternal life with him. Let me say it like that. Because all of you are going to live eternally, and you are not going to come back as a dog or a monkey. I know your life might be like a dog and a monkey at this moment, but you're not going to come back as a dog or a cat or a monkey. You're going to live forever and ever. It's either going to be with God or without God. But the purpose why Jesus came was to come and give you eternal life with him. The reason why was his love for you. And sometimes the church, we've got it upside down. The purpose is eternal life with God. The reason was his love for you. It says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Friends, Allah ain't going to save you. Buddha ain't going to save you. Religion ain't going to save you. Only Jesus can save you. He's the game changer God has sent from heaven to save this world. Jesus had a game-changing message to the world. In Mark chapter 1:14, it says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. He had a game-changing message. The game-changing message is not that God loves you. The game-changing message is the following. The kingdom of God has come near. Therefore, repent and believe in the message of Jesus. That is the game-changing message that God has given Jesus. Jesus came. Jesus never said when he stepped in, hey, I'm here because God loves you. Jesus said, this is the message that God has given me, which he spoke through the prophet John. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the gospel. Believe in the message of Jesus Christ as the Savior of this world. It's a game-changing message. I came to church many times in my life, long before I got saved. Long, was brought up in church, heard God loves me every day. That didn't change nothing. What changed me is the fact that I realized that God reached out to me through people, through messages and all. But if I didn't repent and then believe the message, friends, nothing changed in my life. Nothing is going to change unless you repent and believe the message. Maybe you're here tonight or today and you've wandered away from God's ways. The gospel is the following. God loves you. Nothing is going to change that. And if you turn back to Him, He's going to dust you off, forgive you, put you back on the course. Game-changing message maybe for you today. God's not going to condemn you. God's not going to push you away. God is going to receive you in forgiveness, and God is going to dust you off, and He's going to put you back on the way. If you believe the gospel, that God is the God of the second chance, of the thousand chances. But unless you repent, nothing is going to change. You've been lukewarm for God. Unless you say, Lord, forgive me for not putting you first. I repent of it. I change my mind, my purpose, and my action. Unless you do that and then believe that God doesn't condemn you, God doesn't judge you, God forgives you, God embraces you, God loves you, nothing's going to change. Are you still with me? Friends, Jesus had a game-changing commission or mission for His people. You might say, but well, I don't have a purpose. Make Jesus' purpose your purpose. I don't have a message. Make Jesus' message your message. And then Jesus had a game-changing commission for the church. Matthew chapter 28, He says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He had a game-changing mission. That is to preach the gospel to all the earth, to make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them. And you and I, we are part of that game-changing movement, which is the Church of Jesus. And He has given you this message now, to go into the world and make disciples, to teach them and to baptize them, and to remember that He's always with you. In Matthew chapter 10, 7, it says the following, and as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. As you go out on this mission, He commissioned you. Now, as you preach, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely that you give. Why do you give unto the work of God? Why do you give into the church? Because people get saved through the church. People get baptized. The commission gets fulfilled through the church. If this church was not a soul-winning church, a church that wants to make disciples, a church that wants to disciple people, teach people, then keep your money. But if it is, then you need to know that God is going to use you to give into this work freely that you receive, freely you give. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave. The reason why so many of you are not giving unto God's work is because you don't love the world. You have a love problem. You don't just not love God, you don't love the world. The two things which God says we should love, Him and the world. Your giving expresses that. Your giving. Not giving tell us you don't love God and you don't love the world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His best so that the world could be saved. Why are you giving faithfully to the church? Because you love God and the world, and that the world can be saved. So if this church that you are part of is not a soul-winning church, a disciple-making church, then don't give. Don't give. But if it is, which it is, then you need to check your heart. Because your giving expresses your heart. Expresses the real you. Yeah, I know it's tight. But it's right. If you don't have a giving problem, you have a love problem. And don't be deceived thinking that you do love God. You do not love Him when you can't honor Him with your finances. And by the way, you do not love the world if you can't honor God's work to the world. God loved, therefore He gave. God wants you and I to become game changers. He wants you to know that He left you here to become a game changer. Not to settle in, not to be just a mere home sale leader or a sales rep or a property manager or a business guy. He wants you to be a game changing person. He promised that He's constantly going to give you ideas for situations where you can significantly change the outcome of certain situations. You, with your game-changing ideas. And you might be here today and you say, Tabu, my life is going nowhere. Listen, nothing is going to change. Only Jesus can change your life. Unless you give your life to Jesus, you ain't going to change stuff. You might change it for this life, but there's a greater life out there. The day you die, we walk into eternal life. You can't change nothing for eternal life if you don't have Jesus. He's the game changer for eternal life. And all He said is to repent and to believe that He loves you, that He has a great plan and a future for you, that He's never going to leave you nor forsake you, and that He will use you for His glory. I tell you, 13 years ago, I took Him on His word. I took Him on His word. And He really stepped into my world and changed my situations significantly. Jesus, the same man that died 2,000 years ago on a cross. And I know that if He did that for me, then He will do it for you. You might be here today and you've been in the church for a while and you've lost your way. You just know it in you that you're not so on fire for God's stuff and for the Lord anymore. Listen, unless you repent, say, Lord, forgive me. I changed my mind, my purpose, my action. I believe that You're not condemning me, that You love me, and that You embrace me, and that I can come for forgiveness and restoration in You. Nothing is going to change. I'm your pastor. Let me tell you, there's no difference between you and me. I go through the same stuff. And the road to recovery is hands up. Lord, forgive me. I am sorry. I made things more important than Your things. Now I'm changing my mind. I'm come back to You. Dust me off, restore me, put me back. The Lord embraces me, covers me, loves on me, puts me back. Okay, there you go, my boy. Then I go. And the life in Jesus is not on a road. It's like a drunk man. You stumble and you fall, and the grace of God just keeps us together. And in all of this, God looks at you and says, that's my game changer. That's my game changer. In the situation that you are in today, you are the solution. You are the game changer. Your company might not have a new idea. You need to trust God. Because you are a game changer, you're going to come forth with a game-changing idea that will bring that company from a normal company into an exceptional company. From a normal business into an exceptional business. From a normal home cell to an exceptional home cell. From a normal ministry to an exceptional ministry. From a normal church to an exceptional church. I want to encourage you today to become a game changer. And if you are here today and you don't know Jesus, listen to me. 13 years ago, the kingdom came near to me. Might have not come near to me in the way I thought it would, but it did. Did. And I realized if I don't repent, nothing's going to change. After I repented, I started to believe that I was forgiven, that I had a new life, that God's going to use me, that I'm going to do great things for God, that God loves me, that He's never going to leave me nor forsake me, that I have got the medicine and cure for the world in my hand, and that is Jesus and His message. I believed it. And the more I believed it, the more God started to use and amplify it. And if God did that for me, then God's going to do it for you as well. Maybe you are a wandering Christian here today. If every one of these pastors are true, we all wander at some point. Amen? Amen. We all wander. But through repentance, God dusts us off, puts us back, and uses us again for His glory. And God is the God of the second chance. Amen? You serve the God of the second chance. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank You for Your word today. Thank You that You love us, care about us. Thank You for every person that is here. Thank You that we can hear Your voice. And right now, I know that there's people in this place that needed to hear this message. Thank You that You've called us to be game changers. And thank You that even though we don't feel like it to see it, when we accept You as our Lord and Savior, we have that DNA. And Father, I pray that every person in this church, every person under my voice will become game changers. We love You, God, and we honor You, and we thank You for the privilege we have to be Your church. Thank You for game-changing ideas to flood our lives. Thank You, Lord, that we can become all that You have called us to be, more than conquerors in this life. We love You, Jesus, and we thank You for what You did on the cross 2,000 years ago. Father, I want to pray for people here today. You know them by name. You know those who are not right with You. Those who are crying out for change. If it's you that I'm talking about, right now I know that if you make a good choice, today your life is going to change. The Bible says that God puts before us life and death, and He asks us to choose life. Right now, you might wonder if you have the assurance of eternal life or not. Maybe you just know that your life is not right with God. Can I please pray with you? Because before we go today, I know that God can come and change your situation. Jesus is the game changer that can step into your situation and change it significantly. Right now, if that is you, while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and you say, Tabu, that's me, then I want to ask you, can I please pray with you? While all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I want you to quickly just put up your hand and say, Tabu, here I am. If you want to be included in this prayer, then I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to trust God to come and step into your life and change your life forever. Amen. I want every one of you to look up to me. I want you to put your hand on your heart. Pray this with me. The Bible says that God hears us. Amen. And He's going to hear you right now, and He's going to change your life forevermore. Say, Heavenly Father, thank You for today that You spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today, and I ask You for forgiveness. Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is Your Son, that He died for me, so that today I can have eternal life. Thank You for loving me, accepting me, and I pray that You will use me in Your church, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast, brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website, www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.